Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you to the study of God's Word as we continue in the book of Exodus in chapter 11. We will read the chapter through, where the Lord said unto Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. May God bless the reading and hearing of this chapter from his precious holy word. We come near to the climax of this great contest between Pharaoh and Moses, between the God that was the God of God Jehovah of Israel, and the gods of Egypt, under the serpent and the satanic ingenuity of the devil himself. One can well recognize that the contest is coming to the climax, do you not remember? As we stated in the preceding judgment of plague of darkness, it was the prelude to the final visitation and conclusive judgment of God upon the land of Egypt, that sentence of death. And in our chapter that we have read, God says to Moses, ere he departs from the presence of Pharaoh, I'll bring one more plague upon him, and he will let you go. Now you just go ahead and tell him that I'm going to bring at midnight over the land of Egypt the angel of death. And the firstborn in the land, whether on the throne of the Pharaoh, whether in the home of the maidservant behind the mill, as well as the firstborn of all cattle and beasts, there will be the sentence and the execution of death. Now let me make this very clear and evident, to thus give the New Testament application of this truth. You and I are nearing the day when God's execution of righteous judgment and visitation of divine wrath is to come conclusively and in consummation upon this sinful world. Oh, my beloved, may I say, there is a day of wrath. There is a day of judgment coming. The visitation of God's judgment is coming. Let me just quote the words of Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and so on until the flood came and took them all away. And as we see and can read in the book of Genesis chapter 6, that corruption and violence filled the earth of that antediluvian day, so even in our day, corruption, the moral darkness of sin's corruption pervades the earth, and violence from one end of it to the other. It is but the recognition judgment is near for those who observe the condition of the times. just as the plague of darkness was the advance indication that the next plague will be the final one of devastating death. My beloved, may I say, the scriptures declare it, flee from the wrath to come. For God has not yet shown his anger and his wrath upon the earth, as he will in a soon coming day. May you and I realize there is only one place, or should I not rather say one person to whom we may flee, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And the deliverance that not only brings you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, but will also keep you from the judgments and deliver you from the judgments that will fall. My beloved, it's a grand thing to know you're saved. Like the Thessalonian believers who waited for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, of whom the apostle wrote, our deliverer from the wrath to come. May I say personally, gratefully, I am glad I shall not be on the earth in the day of God's wrath. For the blessed Lord Jesus has promised to deliver all who trust him in this age from that day of wrath. Our 11th chapter brings out before us the consummation of that coming wrath in the days of Egypt, and that there would be a great cry, as thus God would visit in judgment. But there's a very noticeable thing that we must not omit mentioning. God not only was going to bring his people out of Egypt and deliver them with all their children, with all their cattle, but he was going to recompense them for all their slavery and servitude that they had done for the Egyptian realm. For in verse 2, we have a most remarkable statement. Speak now in the ears of the people, let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. They went out wealthy. They did not go out poor. God so moved upon the Egyptians, as you have it in this chapter, please. Please may I point it out in verse 3. The Lord had given the people, that is the people of Israel, he gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The man Moses was considered by the Egyptian people at large very great. And naturally, the very visitations of God's wrath at the behest of God through Moses had made Moses a great man in the sight of the Egyptian people. And they feared him. And God spoke to the people of Israel to thus get from their neighbors, their Egyptian neighbors, these jewels of gold and jewels of silver. For when they left Egypt wealthy. Now this gives a very clear explanation that when the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness took place, where did the Israelites have the gold, the silver, and the many other precious things to contribute to the building of God's tabernacle within that desert? They brought it out of Egypt, and God saw that they were compensated for the sufferings and the bondage and the slavery that they had endured. So that when they went out, as you may read in a later chapter, they went out wealthy. Now, my beloved friend, you and I who are Christians, we do not go out of this world carrying the world's wealth. But, oh, thank God, we're going to a wealthy place. And even along the journey homeward, we can gather spiritual wealth, the silver and gold of God's precious word and of his truth, if we will. But God's judgment was now finally stated. About midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt. I'm wondering about that expression, midnight. We shall see more of it in the next chapter. At midnight, the angel of the Lord went over the land of Egypt in judgment. I wonder, my radio friend, do you think that midnight hour is getting nearer for the world? I believe so. It's nearly 12 o'clock, my friend. The hour of the world's doom. I pray that it will not be the hour of your personal doom. I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you may have been convicted of your sin, your need of a Savior, and that you can only go to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, and know him as your Savior. For I want you to know that when they departed out of Egypt, please note verse 7, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth for the difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now let me make a very flat and clear declaration. God put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And the same God who put a difference between his earthly people Israel and the Egyptians has put a difference between Christians and unbelievers. Now you say, what's the difference? May I say that no Christian can boast that he or she is better than the other people who may not be Christians. The difference is this, and let me paraphrase these words again. The Lord hath put a redemption between the Egyptians and Israel. And that redemption is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross that makes all the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The Christian believer, now may I state this, has no merit of his own or her own, but has put his trust completely and absolutely in the work of Christ upon the cross to save him and her from his sins or her sins and their terrible judgment. And as far as the unbeliever, he or she has not done that. Now, my beloved listener, may I ask, which are you? For God is going to prove who belongs to him. And the day's coming when God's going to take out of this world those who are his and leave for judgment those who are not his. My beloved, what will it mean for you? I speak very faithfully, earnestly, prayerfully, pleadingly. Make sure you know the Savior and that you're ready for the departure out of this world. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts, to consciences, and use thy truth for the salvation of many and the blessing of saints. Amen.